Maine's famous fall foliage. They are some of Maine's greatest tourist attractions, especially this time of year. Our trees. Surely you've noticed that they are already beginning to pop. Islands of yellow, red, and orange against the forest green backdrop of spruce and white pine. Maybe you've already spotted the other sign of the season. The leaf peepers, coming in cars, tour buses, cruise ships, and on bicycles. Tourism season no longer ends on Labor Day. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What does the fall foliage season mean for Maine's tourism economy? Why do the leaves change colors anyway? How does this year's fall foliage season rate? And how is climate change affecting Maine's fall foliage? What are your favorite places to find autumn colors? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It is starting, the glow of orange, yellow, and red leaves that make Maine's landscape so spectacular this time of year. Today, we'll learn about what makes Maine's fall foliage so special and how important it is to our state's image and economy. Today's show is part of Maine Calling's ongoing coverage of topics iconic to Maine. Joining me in the studio, Steve Lyons, who is director of the Maine Office of Tourism, and in our Bangor studio, William Livingston, associate professor of forest resources at the University of Maine in Orono. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for advice about where to see the fall colors? Do you have a favorite place to share? Any questions about Maine's trees? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to both of you. Bill, some of the national surveys about the best places in the country to see fall foliage put Maine at the top, number one, two, or three always. What is it about the trees in Maine that make our fall colors so special?
We have a couple aspects of the state that really helps us be at the top of the list. One of the most important ones is the tree species. Maples are really the trees that really add the color to the fall landscape. The sugar maple with its yellow and goldens and red maple with the red colors. There's a few other species that are as brilliant in color, and Maine fortunately has a lot of those trees present. The other is our cool fall temperatures really help bring up the brightness in colors. And finally, in Maine, we have a lot of climatic zones that the weather really differs between along the coast and then going up to the St. John Valley. So the length of our fall color season is longer than you're going to find in any other state because we have such this wide gradation of climate.
So far, is this a good year?
Oh, yes. That what really helps get the trees ready for the color or going to help determine the brilliance of the color is how the summer went. And we've had good precipitation this year, so the trees have been able to grow at their optimum level. And so I expect that they have what they need for showing their best colors. And really all that's going to determine it now is what weather we're going to have over the next month.
So even though the last couple of weeks have been pretty dry, the fact that the summer was a good summer tree-wise is paying off now.
Yes. What really helps determine the brightness of the colors is the amount of sugar in the leaves. And so the trees have had a good year of photosynthesizing and producing the sugars. And so they're well set up. And if we get cool nights to keep the sugars in the leaves and then bright sunny days, that helps produce the red pigments that will make the sugar maples more golden and orange in color, and the red maples even a deeper red.
Well, Steve Lyons, bringing you into the conversation here. Other than summer, this is prime tourism season in Maine. What does fall mean for Maine tourism? Characterize this.
Okay. Well, I mean, total visitation to Maine is, in the past 10 years, has been growing. And 2018, fall makes up about 25%. Of our overall visitation to the state. And I say 2018 because that's the most recent research we have from last year. So about 25% of the visitors that come to the state of Maine in a year are coming in the fall, during the fall season. In the last 5 years, we've seen fall increase at a slightly faster pace than summer visitation. We're growing at about 4.4% for annually for summer visitation in the last 5 years, and about 5.5% for fall visitation in the last 5 years. So people seem to be looking at Maine to more for more than just the summer these days.
So what's the difference between a fall foliage visitor and a summer visitor to Maine?
Well, I think that's difficult to say. I mean, I think the fall foliage has always had a history of being an older, you know, slightly older than the summer visitor. And I think we still see that to some degree. You used to hear a lot about the bus tours and all the senior citizens on the bus tours and that kind of thing. And that still happens. But people are traveling more and more and traveling year round. And so I think the demographics have sort of leveled out a little bit.
My sense is that the people from Canada will come south in the fall in a way that they might not as much in the summertime?
Well, I mean, we do get a number of visitors. I mean, Ontario is the biggest source of Canadian visitors right now, above Quebec and all the other provinces. They have their own maple leaves up there, and they do have a lot of foliage as well. We get, most of our visitation actually comes from New England states, probably about, 40% or something like that comes from New England states. And we have a lot of people coming from the Mid-Atlantic states as well. And we consider Mid-Atlantic going down as far as, say, you know, Washington, D.C., you know, up as far as New York and Pennsylvania.
Okay. So I understand that you're originally from Vermont.
Yes, I am.
How do the states compare for fall foliage?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I can. I'm the director of tourism now here in Maine. Maine is fabulous. they're very similar. And, you know, as Bill pointed out, a lot of it has to do with the climate that we're in. And the colors are going to be very brilliant no matter what you do. And what's interesting that I've learned over the years in living in not only Vermont and New Hampshire and Maine, I've lived in all three northern New England states, is that, you know, if you're not from this area, any level of fall foliage color is interesting to people. You know, a lot of times you'll see, is it a great year for foliage? Well, Mainer or Vermonter or New Hampshire person might say, no, not really. But if you're from Texas, you know, or Arizona or something like that, you know, you don't see this very often. So it just makes it that more enjoyable for people when they come.
Okay, Bill, give us the maybe middle school level lesson about how and why leaves change colors.
Sure. The primary signal to the tree that it's coming fall is the day length. So as the days get shorter and the nights are longer, that sends a signal to the tree that it needs to get ready for winter. And so that makes it then ready to begin changing. And then it's really the temperature signal gives the trees then the indication of when they really need to start going dormant. And in that process, they start breaking down the green pigment in the leaves, the chlorophyll, so that they can reabsorb it and then use it the following year. And the cool temperatures, and this August we had about 4 degrees cooler temperatures than last year, and I think that's helped the colors come on at more normal time this year to where we're seeing the color changes now. And so as the color chlorophyll breaks down and the tree loses that green pigment, then the other pigments in the leaf become more apparent. Just about all leaves have the yellow pigment, and so that's the most common color you see there. But it's then just a few tree species, maples being the most common one and doing it the best, is where they can produce a red pigment if there's enough sugar and enough sunlight during the fall. And then that helps that pigment then become more apparent. So it's really the shortening of the days and the lengthening and cooling off of the nights that really trigger the fall colors in the leaves.
All right. Well, Bill, what is happening in Maine right now? Is Aroostook County seeing a lot of color already? Western Maine? Where is the best place to see the leaves this week?
Well, a good source for looking up that information is the Maine Forest Service has their leaf report page, and that's what I look at. And last week, they were showing some change occurring up in Aroostook County, so the colors were happening. And I've seen a lot of changes here over the past week, so I expect this coming week up in northern Maine is going to be really beautiful. And then we're going to see it progressively come further south as the week goes on. So over the next month, I think we're going to have some wonderful colors to look at.
And Steve, I just drove from Portland to Augusta earlier this week, and already some spectacular trees. Maybe not, you know, 10 or 20%, but enough to sort of take your breath away. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the colors are always, well, they always start in a lot of the wetland, lower wetland areas first. But another place, you know, Bill is mentioning the Forest Service. Another place to get foliage information is mainefoliage.com. That's a cooperative arrangement we have with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, and the Maine Office of Tourism to do weekly foliage reports. And we have those come out every Wednesday, so they're coming out this afternoon, the latest one, and they'll be running for about a month or so.
Yeah, I talked to Gail in your office. She says any minute now, so we're going to put it up on the our webpage and Facebook page as soon as we can. What was I going to say? Do we have a sense of how many people look at those pages, try to figure out where to go, where to drive?
Well, not something I have off the top of my head, but certainly people are looking at the pages. And, you know, people, what we find is state parks are very popular, you know, and outdoor activity is very popular this time of the year.
Okay, so I've got to ask each of you, where is your, I'll start with you, Bill. Do you have a favorite drive this time of year?
Oh, I like to do a lot of bike riding, and we're not that far from Mount Desert Island. So I drive quite a bit between the Bangor area and down to Mount Desert Island. So over the next month, I get to see the fall colors change along that drive and also on the island riding the carriage path. So I'd have to say those are my favorite areas to go.
Okay, and we are going to hear from someone at Acadia National Park in just a few minutes. Okay, what about you, Steve?
For drives, gosh, there are a lot of them. I mean, there are several scenic byways in the national scenic byways in the state. But I think, you know, I find driving on the western mountains of Maine and some of the small communities, you know, you get into the southern part of the western mountains, which is Cornish area, and you get up to Bethel and Rangeley and those areas, and you find you get some pretty expansive views of the mountains and lakes. And when the tree color is bright and brilliant, it makes it beautiful.
If you'd like to share your favorite place to go see the leaves change colors, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Bill, it seems to me that older trees that seem stressed in some way, change colors earlier. Is that so?
Yes, that is true. I think a lot of people notice that the first trees to change color, not only the older trees, but as was mentioned earlier, that along wet areas, neighboring swamps, and it's where the trees are more under stress. They've have less, you know, less ability to use the resources, and so they'll start to go dormant early. That because of they lack the additional resources, they'll start to go dormant early and shut down. And so trees where especially the roots are shallow due to wet weather or the wet habitat or to soil conditions will have a tendency to definitely go dormant earlier and therefore change their colors earlier. And red maple is also known as swamp maple. So a lot of the red wet areas are high populations of red maple, which will give you wonderful red colors as they go dormant. And so a lot of times in the areas, that's going to be the first real colorful spots are the areas along wetlands and swamps.
You know, so much of our natural environment is being affected by climate change. I'm wondering, how about fall foliage? Is climate change affecting that, and do you expect it to do so in the future?
It's, as I mentioned earlier, the brightness of the colors is really affected by temperature, and it's where you really want the cold nights and the bright sunny days. And that is, last year I had some concern about it, and other years where we were starting to have, our falls are warmer now than what they were 20, 30 years ago. And so that can result in just the colors coming later, but also if we begin to have the lack of these cold nights, what a lot of people like about the fall is the return of nights getting down in the 40s and 30s and feeling that fresh, brisk air. If we start losing those, that's going to reduce the brilliancy of the color. So remains to be seen what actually is going to happen with the change in the climate. But it one way or another, it does have an impact on the fall colors.
I'm going to go to a Facebook post. This is from Gary. He writes, "My favorite trip is Route 11 from Ashland to Fort Kent. Might take a side trip from Fort Kent to Allegash. Then Route 162 or Route 161 down to Caribou. Everyone I take on this trip loves it. You're nodding, Steve.
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful area. I mean, if you take Route 11 and you're going up along that route, I mean, it's rolling hills and lots of trees and a lot of deciduous trees along that route. So there are beautiful colors. And then coming down from, you know, Fort Kent to Caribou is a right nice drive. It's funny, I only did that drive for the first time like a few weeks back, a couple of months ago, I think it was. And I thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah, we're going to go to Dan, who's calling from Swansville. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I'm fortunate. I drive around the whole state of Maine as part of my job. And so Monday I headed up north and just going up the interstate. I know it's the interstate, but it was just unbelievable all the way from Bangor to Holton, the colors of the trees. I did eventually, it took me 2 days, and I did get up to Fort Kent. It seemed that actually from Bangor to Holton was the brightest colors, and then it tapered off. Unfortunately, I drove home last night. It was, nighttime driving
Darn.
To Fort Kent. But I know what they're talking about. It's a beautiful drive.
Steve, maybe you ought to enlist Dan as part of your fall foliage tracker. Dan, thanks so much for calling and sharing that. Makes me want to get in the car and go for a ride, that's for sure. Let's see here. Janet on Facebook writes, Maine librarians are headed to Sunday River for our annual conference and are very excited to experience the foliage in the western part of Maine. So that's wonderful. And again, we'd love to hear you all talk about your favorite parts, places to go see the fall foliage, maybe your favorite things to do this time of year. Often the leap peeping ride is on your way to something else. So give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Modern Pest Services. Working with businesses to customize high-tech, non-toxic solutions to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And Black Cow Burgers and Fries, a cocktail bar and soda fountain on Exchange Street in Portland with dine-in or takeout service. BlackCowBurgers.com.
The House has officially begun an impeachment inquiry, and the two parties have staked out their positions.
The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Our job is to legislate, not to continue to investigate something in the back when you cannot find any reason to impeach this president.
Is this a new chapter in the Trump presidency? This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's coming up today between 4 and 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. NPR News is closely following developments about the formal impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. You'll hear coverage throughout the day, and then tonight at 8, Maine Public Radio will carry a one-hour NPR special summarizing all situations with Trump, Ukraine, and the impeachment inquiry. Again, that's tonight at 8 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about Maine's famous fall foliage. Joining me, Bill Livingston, who is an associate professor of forest resources at UMaine, and Steve Lyons, director of the Maine Office of Tourism. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or go to the Facebook page. Joining us now is Christy Anastasia, who is public affairs specialist for Acadia National Park. Thanks for calling in, Christy.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
You must have already heard Acadia being mentioned on the program, probably the best known place to see fall colors here in Maine. How much of a surge in tourism do you get this time of year?
Yeah, a lot of folks love to visit Acadia National Park. And when the fall foliage colors start changing, we definitely get a lot of people heading up this way. In the month of October, we'll typically see about 450 to 500,000 visitors or visits over the course of the month.
What are some of the best vantage points in the park to see the foliage?
Yeah, so it depends how you like to experience Acadia National Park. Some folks like to kayak and get amazing views of the foliage and see the reflection on the water. Some folks like to get out on a boat, you know, so you're looking back at the park and you're getting the view of the ocean and the leaves. Some folks like to drive the Park Loop Road, and lots of folks like to get onto the carriage roads, which is an amazing, slow-paced, recreational experience, free from motors and things like that.
When usually is peak for Acadia? Is it now or is it a little later in October?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Right now, the main foliage report from the state still has us in what they call low. And I would say typically we're looking at mid-October to maybe the third week in October when we start to peak. But it has a lot to do with a lot of different things. If you were in the park today, you would see that there is color out there and it is changing, but it is not peak.
Okay. Well, Christy, thanks so much for calling in. Christy Anastasia, she handles public affairs for Acadia National Park. She mentioned the fall foliage report. The new one is just out, hot off the presses. I don't know if you even say that anymore in the digital world, but we've got it posted on our Facebook page and will be on our webpage soon. Also joining us now is Stephanie Spira. She is assistant professor of climate change and remote sensing at the University of Richmond's Department of Geography and the Environment. Thanks for joining us, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you're doing research that is specifically focused on fall foliage. Tell us about that research.
Yeah, we're doing research focused on fall foliage and, as Christy said, Acadia National Park, because it is my favorite national park. So basically, we're just trying to understand how changes in climate might have affected the timing and duration of fall foliage in Acadia over the last 20 plus years, and whether or not there are implications for visitorship in the park. So as Christy mentioned, you might expect to see over 500,000 people in the park in October. From the early 90s, that number was in the low 200,000. So we actually see park visitorship increasing in these shoulder season months of September and October. So we're wondering if that has to do with changes in fall foliage and if there's any link there to climate change, and we're doing research that way.
How can people get involved in your project?
Yeah, thank you for asking. There's a huge citizen science component. So we have satellites that allow us to monitor fall foliage in Acadia over the last 20 years, but we're asking for pictures from park visitors, not only from the past 20 years, to help us figure out if what we see in the satellites is actually what's happening on the ground. But also, we're asking for people to send in old photos from before the year 2000 to help us paint a picture of when fall foliage peaked before we have satellite data to help us do this. So we have a big call out there to ask people to scan in, scan their old photos of the park and send them to anpfallfoliage@richmond.edu. But I was just in the park last weekend putting signs up explaining the project and asking for buy-in from park visitors.
All right. Well, I understand you get to stay with us, that even though you're joining us from a studio at the University of Richmond and are busy, that you're going to stay on the line for the rest of the show. And I really appreciate that. I'm going to go to some of our callers here. I'm going to go to Rhonda, calling from Route 9. Where on Route 9, Rhonda?
I am not to the midway point yet where the rest area is. I haven't quite made it there, but
okay.
I'm on the other side of Amherst and headed down, and I pulled over.
Now with the new law especially. So how is it up there?
It is beautiful. I went to Piscataquis County on Friday and drove up, and there was almost no leaf change on Friday until I got up on the other side of Charleston Hill. 15 takes you in. But coming back, I hit Route 9. I live in Lubeck, so I'm headed home, and there are reds, there are yellows, there are golds. And Route 9 is a beautiful, beautiful Washington County. It's gorgeous. The leaves are beautiful up here. They're not peak, but they're beautiful.
Well, Rhonda, thanks for calling and joining us. I really appreciate it. We'll move to Paul, who's calling from Farmington. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the fascinating program. Nobody's mentioned sap flow yet, and I was wondering what that has to do with the foliage.
Sounds like a question for you, Bill.
Sap flow in the fall, it's really kind of going in the opposite direction, that materials are going out of the leaves and back into the stem of the tree. And a lot of the sugar reserves, carbohydrate reserves, end up in the stem of the tree. So the flow of the material is actually going back into the tree. Other than that, it doesn't have really much of an impact. that the real sap flow that we're most interested in with the maples is what happens in March. But in the fall, it's kind of coming out of the leaves and back into the stem.
All right.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Paul, for your call. We'll go to Jessica calling from Fort Kent. Hi, Jessica. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say, the leaves have changed so dramatically over the past week. We barely had any spotting last week, and now it's almost full bloom here. You see it everywhere. And I've been lucky enough to see fall in northern Georgia, and up here nothing compares to fall in Fort Kent. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Well, we are so happy you called. We're having a great representation from Aroostook County on today's program. Jessica, thank you so much for calling and sharing. An email from Henry. For those who cannot travel widely in Maine, all one has to do is wait, and the colors will come to you. Subtle changes occur every day until finally the full wave of color hits. Bill, that's a really nice sentiment. Bill, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I can.
Okay. I was just thinking, that is a really a different way to think about it. Instead of just chasing the most spectacular tree, to watch the trees in your yard.
Yes, and that's what I think is so great about Maine, is that you have, starting in the north part of the state, but then it does develop over the month. And it really amazed me, too, is what was mentioned up at Fort Kent. I've seen it here, that over the past week, I've seen some dramatic changes. And it kind of baffles me, because I usually expect that after some cold nights, but we've had some warm nights recently, and still the trees seem to change quite quickly. So I don't think we fully understand what all is happening with the fall colors, but that's what makes it kind of fun to talk about, that we don't fully understand, and so we all have our different observations as to what's changes and where is the best locations to look at, and that's part of the fun of being in Maine in the fall, is trying to figure out how the trees are going to change and why they look the way they do.
Yeah, what you have seen over the years, and in all the years I've been doing this now, is that the changes are pretty, they follow a pattern every year. It's sort of, as you pointed out, I think Bill pointed out earlier, we have one of the longest foliage seasons in the country because of the diversity here from north to south. And what we've seen is it'll start in northern Aroostook County and some of the north Maine woods. That'll change first, and it kind of lowers itself down to Piscataquis, Penobscot, Somerset, those counties, and then over the lakes and mountains area along the New Hampshire border. And then finally, the last thing that sort of changes typically is right along the ocean, because the ocean kind of keeps that, change from happening sooner.
All right. Stephanie, did you want to jump in? I thought I heard something there.
Oh, no, I was just, this is what we're hoping to disentangle a little bit in Acadia National Park, but it's just like he was saying, it's a little interesting because it's on the coast, so you don't get the same controls, but we're hoping to try and tease apart if it's temperature, if it's cool nights, warm days, precipitation, from a really top-down view of what are the things that exhibit the greatest controls in the park.
All right, we're going to go to Millicent, calling from Augusta. Hi, Millicent, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to mention that boat rides, there's one up at Greenville with the historic Katahdin boat that goes out of Greenville and goes up into Moosehead Lake. It's about 4 hours, and you get the water and then the trees reflecting into the water and the picture of Mount Katahdin. A few years ago when we did that, it had snowed the night before, and so there was snow on top of the Katahdin and all this beautiful reflection and colors, and it was just gorgeous. And later in the year, there's a boat ride on the mailboat out of Portland, goes around all the islands, and again, you get your water and the leaves reflecting, and there's nothing like Maine foliage and all the colors reflected with the dark green. I just love it. And I didn't appreciate it as a child because it was just here. And then when I went out of state after college, the first fall, I got so homesick because I wanted my Maine foliage. I didn't want a tree here and a tree there and just a few, there's nothing like Maine. There really isn't.
Millicent, thank you so much for the tips. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be headed up now to Moosehead to check that out. And what others can you add to that, Steve? And also a shout out to the audience. Anything else to add? Any other tips for the rest of us as Millicent has shared? Steve?
Well, I think one of the best ways that I like to enjoy foliage myself is to hike. You know, a llot of great hikes in the state, and MaineTrailFinder.com is a great resource for that. But also Maine Parks and Lands. I mean, a lot of the state parks have some really wonderful hikes. You have, well, seem to be on this theme, but Aroostook County has a nice hike at Aroostook State Park. You know, some of the public reserve lands, which maybe aren't as, you know, marketed quite as much as some of the state parks, a lot of the public reserve lands have some really great hikes. And I think of places like, you know, the Cutler Bold Coast and some of the Bold Coast trails that you can hike down through the woods, down to the cliffs, overlooking the ocean, some of those areas.
All right. Millicent, go ahead, Bill.
Yes, it's what's been talking about is different parts of the state, and people who haven't had a chance to go around different parts of the state, it's really the fall colors are going to be different in the different areas you go to. The sugar maples, which provide a lot of the character, they're actually more common up in Aroostook County in the Western Mountains. And so you're going to get fall colors that really reflect that character. You go to other parts of the state, red maple becomes more common, and so that'll give a different character. Washington County will have a larger range of the tree species, including conifers, and so you're going to have a much different mixture of colors in that part of the state. So if you haven't had a chance to drive around, it's that you the colors will be a bit different in each part of the state you go to. So just because you really enjoy where you are currently in the state, it's really worth getting out and going to other areas and seeing how it's different.
And I think there's also another thing that kind of gets overlooked sometimes is the blueberry barrens themselves. I mean, the blueberry barrens turn to a scarlet-red color in the fall as well, and people don't necessarily think about that. So if you're up in the Washington or Hancock County areas, those blueberry barrens can be pretty spectacular.
All right. Well, Millicent, thank you for starting this part of the conversation. We'll go to an email from Joanne. Quaker Ridge Casco, which runs from Route 11 down to Route 302 Casco, will be stunning this year. A vast view of rolling hills, of varied trees, with mountains along the horizon, trimmed with pines, and in the distance, the Casco Raymond side of Sebago Lake. If it's open, Hacker's Hill overlooks Quaker Ridge. Not to be missed. Happy leaf peeping. Well, thanks for that, Joanne. And Melanie says, she's on Facebook, she says, I live in Georgetown, Maine, and my favorite place for fall foliage is, of course, all the marsh grasses on my drive to and from home. The deep, rich colors are magnificent and a nice complement to the brighter maples. So Mother Nature knows what she's doing there. And then an email from David. I have a house on Lake Penisiwassee, and I was up last weekend. We played golf at Sunday River, and the colors were so alluring. We'll be back up next weekend for another round. You want to hear that, don't you, Steve?
I do. Well, the Sunday River Golf Course has a beautiful view of the mountains. It's, you know, so I can understand what he's saying.
We'll go to Kathy calling from Portland. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to mention to your listeners that I think a great time to go fall foliage leaf peeping is on the annual Maine statewide Open Creamery Day, which this year is Sunday, October 13th. Lots of farms have their doors open, those who are cheesemakers, and it's from 11 to 3. And it's a great time to get out to rural parts of the state, not only enjoy the leaves, but also enjoy some great local cheeses by our local cheese artisans.
Well, thanks for the tip, Kathy. That does sound really fun. If you have a tip, we're talking about fall foliage or just fall in Maine, 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. If you're going to tweet or send an email, do it quickly so you get in before the end of the show. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for efficiency Maine energy audit and insulation rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
On the next Fresh Air.
I'm back in the saddle again.
We'll talk about a wonderful but largely forgotten chapter of music history, The Singing Cowboy, with Doug Green, who wrote a book on the subject, sings lead in the Western band Riders in the Sky, and is featured in Ken Burns' country music series on PBS. Join us.
That's coming up this evening at 7 here on Maine Public Radio. And later this afternoon at 2, it's Ideas from the CBC. Human rights lawyer Agnes Callamard investigated the murder of Jamal Khashoggi for the UN. A discussion on human rights in the 21st century and what the international community can do when they're violated. That's coming up today at 2 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Joining me on the program, all about Maine's fall colors. Joining me, Steve Lyons with the Maine Office of Tourism, Bill Livingston with UMaine's Forest Resources, and Stephanie Spera, Assistant Professor at the University of Richmond. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Stephanie, you do study, among other things, the intersection between humans and nature and the environment. And I'm wondering, those 500,000 people headed to Acadia National Park to check out the fall foliage, whether you're headed to Acadia or somewhere else, what's your advice on being a good steward of the beautiful landscape?
Yeah, I would just say respect all the signage in the parks. Leave no trace. Stay off the trails they don't want you to stay on. And just be conscious. I think just being present in the world around you is just being a good stewardship and being a good steward and appreciating the time that you're spending there. Obey those signs, though. That's a big one that I've noticed in Acadia.
Thanks for that. We'll go to David calling from Ogunquit. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to put a plug in for Mount Agamemnicus in New York. If you catch it right, the Presidential Range in the White Mountains will be completely lit up with snow. The valley floors will be all in full color, and then you turn around over your shoulder and you're looking down at the ocean. You can see the beaches of Wells, Kennebunk, Ogunquit, Yorks, and all the way out to Portsmouth. And it's just a breathtaking view. There are also lakes and ponds below you that are here in the York area, and it just is spectacular.
Well, that's great, and I agree, David. Mount Agamemnicus is one of my favorite places. Do you have a favorite week? Would you wait a couple weeks?
I would wait a couple of weeks, but I also wanted to mention that you were speaking about the blueberry bushes, that scarlet color. And there's a spot called Blueberry Bluff on Mount Agamemnicus that is spectacular. It's not very large, but when it lights up with the sun setting, it's spectacular. And I would give it a couple more weeks.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling and sharing your tip. Sue writes in an email, don't forget to check with local land trusts. They usually have great hiking trails and are free to the public. Thanks for that, Sue. We'll go to Sarah calling from Sorrento. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to mention how much I enjoy the gold color of the tamaracks or hackmatacks that people talk about. After all, different people call them different things. It's after all the other color has gone, and these gold needles just stand out so beautifully with the dark green of the evergreens. And especially in a later afternoon sun, the way it shines on that gold, it's just wonderful.
Bill, do you have anything to add about tamaracks?
They're one of
it's
my favorites.
A unique
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, the tamaracks or larches or hackmatacks they're conifers like the spruces and firs. They do produce their seeds in a cone, but they're the one conifer that will lose their needles in the fall. And yes, they do provide wonderful color. I've spent some time out of New England. I had one fall up in northern Idaho. And it was the larch out there that turned yellow that, you know, I was getting homesick for the colors in the east. And then it was the larch turning yellow there was kind of their fall color. And so, yes, it is also very great tree to look at in the fall. And some areas, it's really a highlight of some of the fall seasons in other parts of the country.
Sarah, thanks for calling. We have an email from Chris. We moved to Maine at the end of last summer from Florida, and enjoyed a beautiful fall day taking a short hike to the top of Bradbury Mountain, a quick trip from Portland and magnificent views of the changing leaves and Casco Bay. So thank you, Chris, for that. We'll go to Greg calling from Greenwood. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Greg. I work for Mount Abram in Greenwood, Maine, and we are hosting a bike party event. We've been building mountain bike trails on our mountain for the summertime, and it is a family-friendly mountain, and we are looking to get people out on the trails to enjoy the wonderful fall foliage on the 13th of October.
Oh, that's wonderful, Greg. I invite you and anyone else who's listening who has a festival or event to add to today's Facebook post, main calling, so other people can find out more about it. Greg, how many miles of trails are there now?
We have approximately 3 miles of trail right now that are constructed, 2 greens and 2 blues. So two that everybody can ride and one that's a little more advanced.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in with that. Steve, how about some other tips? What are some things people can be doing this fall to combine with their leaf peeping?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and one thing I look forward to every year, is picking my own apples. I think there's so many pick-your-own-orchards around the state. You can get information from the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, or the Maine Pomological Society. Both of them have lists of places that do pick-your-own around the state. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I was coming down here today eating my lunch in the car as I drove down here, and I had my apple from Wallingford's Orchard in my bag. Wallingford Orchard up in Auburn is a great stop. There are plenty of great farm stands. I mean, they make their own apple cider donuts, their own apple cider. They usually have baked goods in all these farm stands around the state, and they are all over the state, and they're great places to go and get a taste of Maine.
Well, I'm happy to inform you that we're going to focus on apples on Maine Calling on October 2nd. So hopefully you'll be tuning in for that. We've got a call in from David. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I was driving down from Bangor and down, but I live in Prospect Harbor, so I'm heading down to a Scudic Point. And coming down through from Bangor down on Route 1A is just spectacular. I mean, it's only about a quarter percent, you know, but still very, very pretty. And as you get closer to the coast, too, I think you find it's less coverage, more like low, I would say. But I'm looking forward to the whole Scudic experience because it's so beautiful on Scudic Point.
Scudic Point is quite beautiful. And, Steve, it's sort of a little undiscovered compared to the Acadia part of the peninsula part of Acadia National Park.
It is. I mean, you don't get quite as much traffic up there. Most people take the turn down.
I should say the island, excuse me. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah, most people take the turn down Route 3 and get down to the Mount Desert Island. But Scudic Point is a gorgeous, peninsula. I mean, it sticks right out into the water. There's some beautiful spruces and pines up in that area. And it's just a lovely, with a granite, the sort of the pink granite rocks on the water. It's just a gorgeous spot in general.
David, thank you for calling and taking part in this. We have an email from Mel. I used to commute up Route 202 and then later I-95 from Brunswick to Augusta. I would sometimes marvel to myself how lucky I was to be able to see all that foliage while taking an otherwise routine trip. And I know how you feel, Mel. We'll go to Becky on Facebook. One of my favorite rides is up Route 27 to Ira Mountain in Kingfield, then continue north up to Route 16 to see Quill Hill in Dallas Plantation, then to Height of Land. It's always beautiful. We usually take that around mid-October. Highly recommended day trip. So that's terrific.
Yeah, that's a good scenic loop. Doing, you know, go up through there. If you take Route 17, you go up around Aquasic and down through Rangeley, and you know, there's stops along the way if you want to do a hike on Bald Mountain in Aquasic, for instance, which is not that long of a hike, or if you want to go to, you know, the waterfalls and things in the area. It's a beautiful area of the state.
All right, I have a kind of unusual question for you, Bill, but I have noticed a lot of acorns this year. Is there any correlation at all between the acorn crop and the fall foliage?
I'm not aware of one. I'm trying to think to speculate on it. It indicates that the trees have had a lot of food and can generate the nuts. And so I think it's It's a good indicator, but whether the oaks are going to have redder color, more red colors this year or not, I think it's going to more depend on the weather than not. And that's kind of, you know, listening to the discussion, I think some things people keep in mind is, one, to enjoy the moment, that the weather can change and that can really affect the leaves overnight, to where you think that you've got another week, and but the weather can change, or if we, especially the wind can be the one that really hastens the loss of the leaves. So that, and the other is that I think fall colors this year are coming a bit earlier than compared to last year. So if you thought you were going out at about the same time as last year to enjoy the fall colors, I would recommend that you might want to go out a week earlier or a few days earlier this year to get the same color intensity.
All right. Well, we have a tweet that says, everyone should read The Trees in My Forest. This is a Bernd Heinrich book. Are you familiar with this, Bill?
No, I'm not familiar with the book.
Okay. Another tweet. Thorn's Head at the north end of Bath is beautiful in the fall. A couple more weeks and the easy walking trails will be gorgeous. So Thorn's Head at the north end of Bath. An email from Bob. The Narrows Bridge right near Bucksport has a huge tower from the top of which the views of leaf color is spectacular. Also, a hike up the nearby Great Pond Mountain offers wonderful views. There are great Airbnb options on Verona Island, which is right next to these sites. Good tip. I didn't even think of that, going up into the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a popular attraction. You do get some interesting views from the top of that mountain, looking back toward Bucksport and the surrounding river valleys in that area.
All right. We go to Sue on Facebook. The October Down East magazine is focused on fall color. Great images and pointers. Also, the barrens between Bucksport and Ellsworth are breathtaking. So thanks for that, Sue. And then Marsha on Facebook says, I live in Portland and wanted to tell your listeners my favorite place for fall foliage, Evergreen Cemetery, always spectacular at peak. So I love that tip, Steve, because she's talking about just in the city, you know, not even taking a drive in the countryside, but just enjoying her own backyard.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to keep that in mind because there are a lot of great places that are, you don't have to go out in the middle of nowhere to have, you know, enjoy the foliage. I mean, I think of the bog walk up toward Bangor and you know, some of the areas outside of Augusta and Waterville. I mean, that you can go in town, and even actually some of the universities and colleges have nice little walking trails around the universities that you can get nice views along the way.
All right. I wanted to turn to you, Stephanie, and ask you, how does your work on Acadia National Park and looking at the changes in the fall foliage there over the decades, how does that relate to other work that you do and sort of the broader study of climate and sustainability?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in how people and landscapes interact and how climate change plays a role in that. A lot of my other work is actually focused on deforestation and climate in Brazil, but I just moved to Virginia and I have been looking for an excuse to get back to New England and to get back to a park that I love. But it's really interesting because people make decisions based on climate, and then climate also affects the decisions people make, and then people's decision-making, right, affects climate affects decision-making. It's all intertwined. So a lot of the work I do is trying to tease apart how these relationships exist, and then that way, in the case of Acadia National Park, it will hopefully inform both park management and maybe the local economies of MDI and the surrounding towns.
Interesting. And Bill, let me ask you this. When we're talking about the different parts of Maine and the different trees that flourish there, historically, are these beautiful trees we're talking about, if we had gone back in time, 5,000 years in Maine before humans came and planted trees, what would we be seeing?
Oh, the forests of Maine have been changing quite a bit. The forests we're seeing currently in the state really developed about 1,000 years ago. So it's really been 10,000 years since the glaciers left. So we've had 10,000 years of forest history here. And really what we're seeing today is really just developed within the last 1,000 years. So 5,000 years ago, we had a much drier climate. It would have been more pine, probably a lot fewer hardwoods. So I don't think the falls would be anywhere near as nice as what we're seeing with today's forests.
It is what we see because of natural changes, or is it because human beings have been planting sugar maples? And
it's actually in Maine, we enjoy the most prolific natural regeneration of trees in the world. So just about every tree you see in the state of Maine arose naturally. It came from a seed and was established there just because the sea ended up in that place. So most of the forests, when you're looking at the state, there's a reason why we're the most forested state in the country. It's because we regenerate trees better here than any place else. So most of the landscape you're looking at in the state is of natural origins. So it's something to really treasure when you're looking out there, that what we're seeing here in many ways is unique, and what we take for granted, other people are just very envious of what we get to enjoy.
Why is that? Why is Maine the best place to regenerate trees, the best place for Mother Nature?
Well, it's something most of us realize. We don't have a dry season, that we have water throughout the year. And that just really helps with the trees getting established. Most other climates will have a dry season, and that's really tough for seedlings to get established. But Maine's temperatures are moderate. We're not very hot. And people might argue about the winter time. Our winter temperatures are not the extreme cold that you'll find farther north. So it's really an optimization of the factors that really help regenerate the trees. So we're blessed with a climate here that really is ideal for regenerating trees and getting them to grow.
Mm. We have a comment from Lucy. I moved to Maine when I was around 7, and one of my earliest memories as a homeschooler was going to a farm and watching them gather sap from maple trees. Maine trees will always have a place in my heart. Lucy's not alone. We're going to go to Matthew on Facebook. He says the acorns are abundant due to the lack of squirrels and chipmunks. I'm in Georgetown. Haven't seen a squirrel all summer when I used to have dozens. Bill, do you think that's the case?
I don't know directly about that, but I know from some other work I've done that the squirrel populations and others that are dependent on the acorns will follow the acorn abundance. So if we're having a lot of acorns this year, then expect a lot of squirrels next year.
All right. And Kathy on Facebook, the Camden Hills area, lots of trails in the state park or the surrounding mountains with views of many lakes in Penobscot Bay. Take a schooner ride out of Camden to see it from the water. All sorts of good ideas on today's program. Steve, we have about 15 seconds left. Do you have one to add?
I guess I would say the Maine Pumpkin Trail. That's something that's fairly new. It's sort of a collaboration between the Coastal Maine Botanical Garden and the town of Freeport and the Maine Maritime Museum. You can get Maine Pumpkin Trail online. Just Google that. And there are a lot of musical arts and crafts events and of course, the annual regatta, Demers Got a Pumpkin Festival.
Oh, yes. We've seen that. Well, thank you all for being here. So interesting. The voice you just heard, Steve Lyons with the Maine Office of Tourism. Also with us, Bill Livingston with the University of Maine's Department of Forest Resources and Stephanie Spiro with the University of Richmond's Department of Geography and the Environment. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. We had additional help from Rich Tozier. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Just a note that Maine Calling will not be rebroadcast tonight at 8. NPR News is covering the impeachment inquiry throughout the day, and at 8 o'clock, Maine Public Radio will carry a one-hour NPR special summarizing the situation. You can always find this show at mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Public Radio.